Until the movie Brokeback Mountain a few years ago, cowboys were the very definition of tough and rugged masculinity. That's straight masculinity, mind you, not gay. But that might have been a picture conjured up by the movies of John Wayne and Gary Cooper. However, reality turns out to have been a bit more complicated. In fact, there's some evidence that Buffalo Bill himself may have been what we would now call gay-friendly. That aspect of the great showman's life will be the subject of a talk tomorrow night at the Clark County Library on East Flamingo Road. Now, we've got details at knprnews.org. We've also got the man who will be giving tomorrow night's lecture. Gregory Hinton has researched this unknown part of life in the Old West. Gregory, welcome back to KNPR.
Thank you for having me on.
So remind us, for those of us who remember the name Buffalo Bill but don't know much about the details, what did William F. Cody become famous for?
Well, he was famous for quite a bit, but he's mostly famous for Buffalo Bill's Wild West, which was the extravaganza that he took all over the United States and then all over Europe from about 1883 to actually all the way to 1913. He was a very colorful character, very beloved character, and people don't know at a time he was probably the most famous American in Europe toward the end of his days.
Now, he took the show to Europe. So how did Europeans react to seeing the Wild West shows of Buffalo Bill?
Well, they absolutely loved it. It was considered a wholly American export. They used to complain that nothing original came out of America, that we just copied everything from our European ancestors. And the Wild West and the American West were basically something that the world had never seen.
So at these shows, what did Europeans see? If they had attended these, what was greeting their eyes when they went through the curtain?
Oh, well, they would see reenactments of Indian raids. They would see buffalo stampedes. They would see reenactments of the death of Custer. It was thrilling, and it was enormous. There were probably over 200 people involved with all of these animals, and it was just unheard of. Nothing like anybody had ever seen. Millions of people saw it in all over Europe.
Now, with these shows, though, from what I remember reading of them some time ago, this was not purely an exhibition showing them what cowboys looked like.
Right. They had over 100 Native Americans, and behind the scenes was almost as romantic as the show itself, because it was like a military camp set up with Indian villages and teepees and cooking and children. It was literally transferring the American West overseas.
Now, all of this would seem to suggest that when it came to things about the American West, at least where Buffalo Bill Cody stood, there was a pretty big tent, which is kind of beginning to move in the direction that we're going to be talking about in just a second with your presentation tomorrow night.
Well, that's exactly right. He later described the Wild West as a mosaic. He said, have you ever watched a man make a mosaic floor? And he talked about how many different cultures and communities it took, basically, to build the Wild West. And he was a showman, and, he needed everybody. He didn't have anybody to waste and anybody not to treat well. So the Indians were absolutely essential to the act, so he was known for paying them fairly, and Annie Oakley wasn't going to take any prisoners. So he got along with everybody, and I believe that was the character he brought to the Wild West.
From what you're saying, it sounds to me like this is actually a guy from the late 19th century in the frontier who was a pretty broad-minded guy. And the broad-mindedness, I guess, carried over into his travels in Europe. He met some very unusual people there, made some friends, there was a painter in particular, Rose Bonheur, who he met in Paris. How did they first meet?
Well, Rose Bonheur was one of the most famous 19th century French artists, and she was an animal viewer, so she painted farm animals and horses, and she was best known for a very, very famous painting called The Horse Fair, which is now in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. She was absolutely highly respected, but she also, like George Sand, preferred to dress in men's clothing and not anything more extreme than you'd see on the Las Vegas Strip right now. I'm just saying that she preferred trousers, and to do her work, she had to visit slaughterhouses and farmyards, and to go there unnoticed, she wanted to dress in male clothing, and to do so, she required a permit from the French government to dress like a man, and it was renewable every 6 months.
A permit every 6 months?
Yes.
What a bureaucracy.
Even then. She got away with it because she was so talented and so beloved. And when Buffalo Bill brought the Wild West to the Exposition Universelle, which was basically when they first, where we first saw the Eiffel Tower, she met Buffalo Bill and they became friends, and he invited her to be the behind-the-scenes painter of the Wild West in Paris.
Yeah, and well, in that relationship, then Rosa Bonheur made a famous painting of Buffalo Bill sitting astride a large white horse, and that was used by his show for posters and programs later?
Right, they really exploited this painting. It's actually a smaller painting, and he's sitting on his horse, Tucker, and it's an iconic image of him, and this image was incorporated into Wild West posters that went all over the world.
So we've got this particular story with Rosa Bonheur. Buffalo Bill is good friends with a woman who, I guess, for 130, 140 years ago, was about as out in Paris as it was possible to be. She was gay
exactly,
and her partner.
Yeah.
What other things did you learn about Buffalo Bill that led you to conclude that he, as a human being, was pretty gay-friendly?
Well, this all came about. I was offered a resident fellowship to go to the Buffalo Bill Historical Center, which is now the Buffalo Bill Center of the West in Cody, Wyoming, where, and I was a kid in Cody. And the purpose of this visit was to analyze their collection for evidence of LGBT history and culture in the American West. What I found in reading his autobiography, The Story of the Wild West, was that he was entertained by Oscar Wilde in London when he took the Wild West to London for Queen Victoria's Golden Jubilee. And this kind of led me on a search while I was there. Buffalo Bill kept scrapbooks and invitation books from all of his Wild West shows. And when he came to London, which was in 1887, he was basically greeted first by the London theater community, an actor named Henry Irving, who then introduced him to all of British royalty. So he was huge when he came there, and Queen Victoria came out of seclusion to see the Wild West show and for the first time in history saluted the American flag. Well, Oscar Wilde was among this circle, and I found invitations from he and his wife to Cody to come to tea, and I found expense ledgers of Buffalo Bill going to their home on Tite Street.
And, well, even at that point, I would imagine Oscar Wilde did not find a lot of people who thought of him as maybe a kindred spirit or such. But Bill Cody, Buffalo Bill, really was gay-friendly, wasn't he? I mean,
well,
he was perfectly tolerant of people who lived lives like Oscar Wilde.
Right. I would have to say that he was, because Wilde's reputation, although he was married and he had just had two small children, he was well known for what his beliefs and values were. And one thing to know about Cody is he had very, very prescient and shrewd front men who basically engineered his entire trip through Europe. And people like Wilde were important for Cody to know, because Wilde was editor of a magazine called Women's World at the time, and they loved press. I think Cody liked people, and I think he liked a good story, and he liked a great character as he was. One point we make about this presentation we're doing at the library is that this was all before we even had the word homosexual. So, I mean, there wasn't even something called gay-friendly at the time. That sexual orientation wasn't really talked about, but it was noted. And we know what happened as a result of Oscar Wilde's trial in 1995, that he... You know, Oscar Wilde was renowned the world over, and when he was put to trial publicly for relationships with this younger man, the whole world knew about it. And Cody would have known about it after the fact as well, and I don't know what kind of reaction he would have had to it, but we didn't even have the word homosexual or heterosexual in our everyday vernacular until 1910.
So it was sometime after a lot of this happened.
Right, and it is to, I believe, Cody's great credit that he was open to all kinds. And I have to say that for the museum that basically protects his legacy, it was remarkable and generous of them to take this on. Because
yeah, that's something I wanted to ask you about, Gregory Hinton, because Wyoming is thought of as a pretty red state as politics and social attitudes and things go. And yet you're saying that they were pretty generous of spirit, if you will, at this museum in Cody, Wyoming, as you began to get into this research.
Right. I was, as I say, I was a son of Cody. My dad was editor of the Cody Enterprise in the mid-50s, early 60s, which was originally founded by Buffalo Bill. But I hadn't been back in 50 years. And frankly, a very wonderful story is how I managed to parachute back into Cody, Wyoming from Los Angeles at the age of 58. And basically, I went and introduced myself to the grandfathers of Wyoming, one which included Senator Al Simpson, who recalled my dad. I basically felt that I had to come out to them because I was about to do this research, and I really wanted to get the lay of the land, and they were so generous to me, and I realized that Cody, Wyoming has a reputation for being tough on gay people, but I, with my Out West program that I do, it's all about coming home. It's that I should be able to go back to the rural community that I came from as who I am, as should, you know, other members of my community. It doesn't always work out great, but I was willing to take that on.
Well, Gregory Hinton, this is, as you're saying this, I'm remembering, this is the state where Matthew Shepard was infamously murdered 15
exactly,
years or so ago. So when you went back to Cody, as you say, for the first time in about 50 years or so, would you say that the people you encountered were kind of intrigued by all of this, interested by it, or did they find it to be kind of tricky ground in conversation with you?
You know, you identify as a gay man, and then, you know, it starts to be about everything else that you are. And it's just one aspect of me. But the museum really welcomed me. Five different museums, all were at my disposal. The curators of these museums were at my disposal. And I asked a very simple question of kind of one of the top Buffalo Bill scholars living today. I said, is it possible that Cody would have been gay-friendly before there was that word? And he said, all I can tell you is that Cody was the most unprejudiced man that there ever could be, and the first place you should look is his friendship with Rosa Bonheur, and that's what got me going. So no, I was never made to feel uncomfortable, and if anything, I just felt like I was at home. And going home to Cody was so ultimately fulfilling, especially since I, as a kid, I stood at the groundbreaking of that very museum.
Gregory Hinton speaks tomorrow night at the Clark County Library on East Flamingo Road. He will speak about Buffalo Bill and his connections to the gay and lesbian communities of his time. Gregory Hinton, thank you so much for joining us.
It's just a great pleasure. Thank you so much.